Welcome to this Public Health England podcast on domestic violence. Public Health England have created this series of podcasts to raise awareness of the different aspects of domestic violence and its importance as a public health issue. Each podcast speaker has been asked to talk from their perspective about the issue. We hope this provides a real reflection on the topics and issues and inspires you to find out more.
Hello, my name is Amy Nicholas. I've been asked to set out the policy context for intimate partner violence in England. Intimate partner violence is a form of domestic violence and abuse. This government has a broad definition of domestic violence, which includes intimate partner violence. It also includes honour-based violence, forced marriage, female genital mutilation, and sexual abuse. I will set out the definition, but I'll focus on intimate partner violence only. So domestic violence is any incident or pattern of incidents of controlling, coercive, or threatening behaviour, violence, or abuse between those aged 16 years or over who are or have been intimate partners or family members, regardless of gender or sexuality. Domestic violence can encompass, but is not limited to, the following types of abuse, which include psychological abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, financial abuse, and emotional abuse. So there's quite a wide range. Domestic violence in England accounts for about 16% of all violent crime each year, and is a major cause of injury in women over 60, in women under 60 years old. More than one in four women had been affected by domestic violence since the age of 16 years. Men also experience domestic violence, but it largely affects women. The physical and mental health impact on the person at the receiving end of the violence can be really chronic. It includes trauma and injury, reproductive health and gynecological problems. There are mental health consequences too. For example, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, substance misuse, and even suicide. The effects of domestic violence don't stop there. Children who witness it can also get caught up with trauma and injury. They can experience developmental delays, and as they grow up, they can acquire behavioral and mental health problems. The coalition government is absolutely committed to preventing violence against women and children in all its forms. And this is a government priority. And intimate partner violence is there amongst them. I want to mention two important overarching pieces of legislation because intimate partner violence affects equalities and inequalities and is also affected by them. Public sector equality duty under the Equality Act 2010 is a key framework for ensuring that the impact of equalities is addressed in a way that provides opportunity for all. This duty requires us as public bodies to demonstrate that we are taking action on equality when making policy, when providing services, as well as when employing people. We have to take steps not just to eliminate unlawful discrimination and harassment, but also to actively promote equality. Age, race, sex, sexual orientation, religion and belief, disability, gender reassignment, marriage and civil partnership, pregnancy and maternity are all important protected characteristics against which it is unlawful to discriminate. And all these characteristics in one form or the other also bear on domestic violence and intimate partner violence. The second piece of legislation is the Health and Social Care Act 2012. This requires the Secretary of State for Health to have regard to the need to reduce health inequalities. And this duty covers both the NHS and public health and the whole of the population of England. I'm saying that because, as I said before, intimate partner violence affects health inequalities and is affected by health inequalities. In November 2010, the coalition government published a strategy on how it intends to tackle violence. The outcomes we want to achieve in this publication called Call to End Violence Against Girls and Women are social, for people to find domestic violence unacceptable and to be able to challenge it in their communities. We want to reduce the level of domestic violence. The government wants to end it altogether. So we want to see fewer and fewer people experiencing intimate partner violence. We want to be able to identify and support through frontline professionals, doctors and nurses, so that they can support people who are experiencing violence. And actually, the evidence suggests that people are more likely to disclose to GPs and their healthcare professionals. We also want employers to recognize and support people who are experiencing domestic violence in their workplace. The main principles in Call to End Violence Against Women and Girls are fourfold: preventing domestic violence, providing services, working in partnership, and better justice outcomes. As you can see, it requires all of us to work across quite a range of agencies. In March 2011, the government published the first action plan following the strategy, and this action plan has been refreshed every year since then on 8th of March, which is International Women's Day. The latest action plan captures what every government department is doing to tackle domestic violence, including intimate partner violence. So where are we now in tackling intimate partner violence in the Department of Health? Well, as I said before, we think that preventing intimate partner violence is a public health matter. It requires all the relevant agencies to work together. It means taking a number of actions on a number of fronts to support commissioners as well as frontline practitioners. So our focus is on improving the evidence base for health professionals as providers of services to be able to identify those at risk and to support them through the health and care system. We also work to improve the evidence base on interventions for commissioners, and we work with national organizations such as Public Health England on promoting it. So far, we've got domestic violence in its narrow sense of intimate partner violence included in the public health outcome framework. With the Northwest Public Health Observatory at Liverpool John Moores University, we've published Protecting People, Promoting Health, which is a public health approach to violence prevention in England. It brings together the epidemiology of violence, information on prevention, and policy for commissioners and providers of services. Through the Department of Health's Policy Research Program, we've commissioned Bridging the Knowledge and Practice Gap Between Domestic Violence and Child Safeguarding, to help develop policy and training for general practice. Violence and its health effects is now included in the foundation year training for doctors, thanks to Dr. Jan Welsh, clinical director of the London's Havens. We provided a number of training guidance and tools, and in the future, this will be for Health Education England, with whom we are beginning to open up dialogue. But the seminal 2006 handbook for health professionals is being updated for publication later this financial year. We supported the violence e-learning tool that's now available through the Royal College of General Practitioners. We've published the professional guidance on domestic violence and abuse for health visitors and school nurses, and the department are also following this up with an e-learning tool. The National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence, NICE, is developing joint guidance with the Social Care Institute for Excellence on preventing and reducing domestic violence between intimate partners. And we are continuing to mainstream thinking on preventing intimate partner violence in other policy developments, and I'll mention a few. It's in the Sexual Health Strategy, it's part of the Thinking in the Troubled Families Program, is in the Mental Health Strategy, and the Family Nurse Partnership Program, which empowers mum and dads under 19-year-old to improve their child's health and development, as well as their own future, also majors on relationships that prevent domestic violence. And we've turned the light on ourselves in the Department of Health. The Department of Health introduced a domestic violence pledge in the public health responsibility deal for employers. This should enable those who sign up to it to commit to improve public health by putting into place the support necessary to help their staff to overcome intimate partner violence. We've signed up to the pledge ourselves as an employer, and we are supported by the Corporate Alliance Against Domestic Abuse. We are encouraging other government departments and NHS organizations to do the same. I can also say that within the department, we have colleagues who have volunteered as violence, domestic violence support champions to support colleagues who disclose to them. We listen and we hope to empower our colleagues to make the journey to change their lives. I'm a member of these support groups and I know that we are making a difference already. As a department, particularly with Home Office, our colleagues who lead on policy on violence and abuse, we are working with Home Office to support effective implementation of domestic homicide reviews. Quite sadly, 2 or 3 people each week in England and Wales die from the violence of intimate partner abuse. 2 or 3 people each week. And what domestic homicide reviews enable local partnership to look at the circumstances, learn the lessons, and apply them. And this was only implemented last year, so it's still in very early days. It is a long journey, but government has pledged to do what it can do to provide national support to enable local action. Ending domestic violence in England is both social change and a partnership challenge. I've set out some of the policy approaches and the context. As a government department, we hold ourselves to account through the annual refresh of the action plan called to end violence against women and girls.
If the topics discussed in this podcast have raised issues for you personally or a friend, help and advice is available 24 hours a day through the free phone domestic violence helpline on 0808 2000 247. That's 0808 2000 247. Thank you for listening.